The story we were about to hear is almost beyond belief. The fact it's true makes it all the more extraordinary. During World War I, a young Southland girl knitted a scarf to send to soldiers on the front line. Out of the hundreds of thousands of parcels sent out, the scarf ended up in the hands of her own brother, fighting in France. Author and well-known Auckland community advocate Colleen Brown has taken the wartime family story and turned it into a beautiful new children's book called Violet's Scarf. It is illustrated by Emma Lay, and fittingly, it's being officially released on Anzac Day. Colleen is with us from Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. Tēnā koe, Colleen.
Hey, morena, Catherine.
It is an incredible story. You say it still gives you goosebumps. It is almost unbelievable, but it has been verified. That scarf came home with George as proof.
That's right. And the tag. And the tag is in the Hocken Library. I mean, it is. My husband's he's a consulting engineer, and he's a really good mathematician. He's tried to work out what the odds are, and he's given up because, I mean, 250,000 parcels in 1916, those Red Cross parcels travelled across from New Zealand, which in itself is mind-boggling when we had a population of just around a million. And that scarf was one of those. And it is just incredible that George got that scarf and jumped up. And what's even more incredible is that he was a driver. So he was called Driver George Crockley. And he took teams of horses up and down from the front, carrying goods and often wounded soldiers back. And so the fact that he was even there is, you know, it just... And when I'm telling the story to people, I get to the bit where... George opens his parcel and it's his scarf from Violet. And I can just see their eyes. Their eyes go, no way, no way. And it just, it's wonderful to be able to be in a position where you can bring a story like this to life and for others to enjoy it.
The brief synopsis before we talk about the journey you went on is what? This young girl in Southland, hearing what's happening, and if not hearing very much compared to these days, right? But hearing what's happening. Yeah. Just pick up the story with the basic synopsis.
The basic synopsis is that Violet lived with her family on a dairy farm just out of Riverton. And walked to school every day with her sister Myrtle, and she had an older brother George who was overseas, and three other brothers, but two of whom went overseas. It may have been a third one went. So the war was, you know, reaching right into that community, and so the Red Cross came to school and said, "We're delivering parcels for soldiers overseas. These are the kinds of things they need. Can you supply or do anything?" So Violet went home and she knitted the scarf in between doing all the things that you did on a farm back in the early 1900s. Everybody had jobs to do, so she knitted it in between that. And then it was parcelled up, and it was actually initially destined to go to Gallipoli. By the time it got there, the Gallipoli campaign had finished. And so the parcel went on to England and then off to France, where it was pulled out with a whole pile of other parcels onto the front line France.
There's a lovely twist just before we get to the big moment. There's a lovely twist because she had to knit the scarf a particular colour, right, to match the uniform.
Yeah.
But she adapted it a little, which I'm sure is part of the identification.
Well, yeah, I had to make that up.
Oh, that's a bit of fiction.
Because the family told me that Violet's favourite colour was blue. And I was determined just to inject a little bit of Violet's personality into the story. So that was a little bit of my latitude.
Fair enough.
There. And the other one was Lionel. Because I've got in the book Lionel trying the scarf on and saying, hey, what say I have this? And, of course... that again is my taking a little bit of latitude again. And I wanted Lionel to be in the story because Lionel never came home. So he's buried overseas. So I wanted to give a nod to both Violet and to Lionel because of their place in the story.
So tell me, it's a, just tell me these parts, and sorry for the details, but it's so beautifully illustrated, and it's just a, I remember brown parcels. Everything used to be a brown parcel wrapped with some string and a little tag on it. And did the tag say what it says in the book? Gift for soldier.
Yes, exactly that.
Gift for soldier knitted by Violet Clowley, is it?
Clowley.
Aged 8 years, yes. Riverton School. So that's what got sent.
Yes.
Yes. So pick up.
And that tag is, and he brought that tag home with the scarf. And it just, the fact that that tag even existed, when I got that photo from the Hocken Library of it, I mean, the hairs in the back of my neck just keep on standing out all the time. And sometimes as a writer, you just know. You just know that this is so important, this story, because there's all the background stuff in it, which I've put at the back, because children and adults, if they're reading it, always ask, you know, what happened to the scarf and what happened to the note and what happened to Violet and what happened to George and all that sort of stuff. So I wanted to put the historical bits and pieces in the back as well.
There's a lovely photo of the family, unfortunately, with Lionel as an inset for the reasons you've just explained. So it was meant to go to Gallipoli. The campaign had ended. So just explain where it did go and the way in which this parcel ended up in George's hands.
So we assume this, that it must have gone on to a big depot in England with all the other parcels that were coming from New Zealand, and then was transported over to France, where the majority of our soldiers were. They were scattered in other areas as well, obviously, but there was a lot over there. And so by this time, it was probably June or July 1916. And that's when the parcels were all loaded on to the back of a dray, as they called it, and pulled out into the front line in a big wagon. And a couple of soldiers jumped up on the back and just threw the parcels out. And George jumped up and caught that parcel. I mean, it just, you know, even now, even telling it to you, I can just, it just gets me every time.
And he sees that tag. He sees that very detailed tag and knows it's from his own sister.
That tag.
Yeah.
And it's page 25 that gets my husband, who's a real bloke of a man. But I can't read that page out in public without him tearing up. He gets very emotional about it. And I think it's because, you know, both of our dads fought in World War II, and we've got long history of relatives involved in conflict, you know, other New Zealand soldiers have been to. And I think those stories, Anzac Day in our family is a huge event. And so you can just imagine the emotion on the day of that man holding that scarf up to his face and smelling all the things that he could have imagined.
It's so beautifully illustrated as well by Emma.
But
here we are on these pages. George could not believe it. Of all the parcels in all the camps across all the battle sites, he had caught a parcel from his sister Violet. And the look on the face, and then, as you say, page 25. Have you got it there? Do you want to read it?
I don't. Like, I'm glad my husband's not around.
Oh, George drew a deep breath.
George drew a deep breath and opened the parcel, a scarf. He wrapped it around his neck. He breathed in again. He smelt the wool, the farm, the kitchen, his mother's baking. He smelt home.
How did you first come across the story?
Well, it's interesting. So our whānau is Ngāi Tahu, and we come from Colic Bay, which is just around the corner from Riverton, really. And four girl cousins, we all were down there doing a bit of a reconnoitre around that area and just gathering up snippets about family history, because none of us were brought up with a Māori worldview or knowing too much about that Māori connection. And so we were really going back in time and really researching a lot of this. And I was sitting in the Riverton Museum, which is the most perfect museum I think anybody could ever imagine. It's beautiful. And I was listening to this loop of video loop of old residents talking about, those were the days, and up popped Violet. And she told the story about the scarf. And I was just gobsmacked by the story and what were the odds. But also, I thought, it's lovely that this museum has picked this up and is telling the story, but gosh, this is a story for the whole country. This is a story that needs to be told. And of course, my life is quite complicated and very busy. And so I sort of sat on it for about 14 years before I got the time to spend the time actually doing it. And finding Emma, of course, is just critical. So Emma illustrated my first children's book, which was about a sheep in Wellington, a true story as well. So she illustrated Elvie the sheep. And I found Emma by, we come from a very large family. And so I just went out to the cousins and said, does anybody know a great illustrator? And sure enough, one of my cousins came back and said, oh, yes, Emma Leigh, she's amazing. And she lives in Takaka. So we did the first children's book during pandemic and never met each other until after May last year. And then by that stage, I was, really trying to get my teeth into the Violet Clothley story. So yeah, she's done an amazing job. She's very dedicated and lots of emails. And I'm a bit prescriptive as well about what I want in the story to actually, marry it up with the words. And and Emma's got some fantastic ideas as well. So I think we work well together, and the story and the illustrations, I think, really complement each other.
What of the family, George's family, did you meet many of them?
Oh, look, that's always the absolute delight, is the family are so generous. And I found this, my first book I ever wrote was The Bull for Kiwi, which was a really true, it was an adult book and a true story. And I did a lot of research there and found the most amazing people in this country and just give you anything, diaries, illustrations, photographs, just amazing. And the same for the Clockley family. And so every person I met, they added to the story. And I sent books down to some of the family just recently, and one of them said, oh, I just had tears in my eyes as soon as I opened it, because Emma has captured Violet perfectly and Riverton and the whole description. And that, that as a writer gives you huge joy that the families can identify with this. And yes, and Evelyn, George's daughter, is still alive. I mean, she's 99, she's 100 this year, and I've met her. I sent her a book the other day. And Violet's daughter, Judith, she's around, and I really desperately want to go down South End and meet them,
And they're all
because
knitters, I
it's
understand.
beautiful. And they're all knitters. Yes, they all knit. They all knit. They knit scarves before they're 8. I mean, what a legacy. 100 years and more on, and Violet's legacy just lives on. And one of them said to me the other day, she said, I'm a rotten knitter. I'm trying so hard, but I'm a rotten knitter. And I thought to myself, this is extraordinary. And it's just so New Zealand. It's such a Kiwi book, though I think Australians would probably relate to it as well. But it is, it's just a beautiful story, and it's a treasure. And I think a lot of children will, it'll raise questions for them in a kind of a non-confrontational way, because the reality is that George, of course, never recovered from his experiences in the war. And I think a lot of us today, as we approach Anzac Day, can relate to that with many of the soldiers who have served overseas in current times also being similarly affected.
Thank you, Colleen. The book is Violet Scarf, written by Colleen Brown, illustrated by Emma Leigh, and it will be officially launched on Anzac Day.